Hi, this is Linda Pearl, and you're listening to TV Confidential.
Ed Robertson welcoming you to TV Confidential, radio talk show about television. Alison Arngrim will join us in our second hour. Alison Arngrim, the actress known around the world as Nellie Olson on Little House on the Prairie. Alison is getting ready to direct Rich Little in his very first virtual comedy performance later on this month. We'll ask her about that. We'll also talk about the movie that she filmed earlier this month on location in Utah, that being Alison's first appearance in front of the camera in the COVID era. We'll talk about what it's like to be back on a real movie set following all the post-COVID safety precautions. Alison is also part of an interesting project called Change the World, which we'll tell you about when Alison Arngrim joins us in our second hour. We'll be able to stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we'll begin this hour by playing part two of a conversation that was recorded earlier this year with Susie Friendly. Susie worked in television production for more than 30 years in a variety of capacities, both above the line and below the line, including many projects with Emmy Award-winning producer Bob Banner, Emmy-nominated writer-producer Carrie Leiser, and legendary casting director Monique James. Susie also worked on the groundbreaking HBO series Brothers. Plus, as we'll find out later in the conversation, she also worked on many of the very first shows produced by the WB. As we pick up the conversation, Susie and I are talking about some of her experience working in post-production. You mentioned you were supervising editing and post. Did you enjoy doing that?
Not as much as I liked being hands-on. Being down in the pit, you know, with the show going on.
Solving problems. Troubleshooting.
Yeah, that was much more my forte.
Any stories of a particularly wacky or really challenging problem that you were able to solve that stands out as a proud moment in your career?
I'm trying to think. All of them were a problem. They used to call me the shark.
Susie the Shark, I like that.
Susie Shark. The set designer would say, oh, here she comes, dun, 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 dun. I always knew what they were up to, trying to do something, you know, just trying to get the show together. Mm-hmm. But we had a lot of fun. We did, years and years ago, a show that you never would have heard of was one of the first, they wanted to do it like Almost Anything Goes. Mm-hmm. And I can't mention the producer's name because it was awful, but he managed to get a video truck on a lot. Mm-hmm. And convinced the people at MGM that it was a IA truck, which of course it wasn't. And then we were in Palm Springs shooting, but the tailor or the wardrobe people were in New York making costumes for these kids. And when they came out and tried to put the costumes on, nothing fit them.
That's not good.
So we had women from all little towns down in Palm Springs from all over sewing all night. Mm-hmm. And I remember that the wardrobe, Michael Travis, was up in his house in Holmby Hills or in off Coldwater. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. dyeing the outfits because they didn't come in right. It was a fiasco. But we got it on the air.
You got it on the air, and I would imagine, because you mentioned shooting a lot of the shows on locations, whether it's the Cal Palace in San Francisco or wherever. And I would imagine that, especially for like a variety type of show, whether it's a series or a special, there are pros and cons to doing it on location, because if you're in the studio, at least it's a somewhat more of a controlled environment.
Right.
But when you're on location, you have both challenges, but you're able to use some of the aspects of the location to your advantage, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Exactly. I did a show when I was still working for Bob called Lisa Bright and Dark, mm-hmm. which I begged Bob to buy. It was a story by John Neufeld of a girl who had mental problems. Mm-hmm. Kay Lenz was the star, and John Forsythe and Baxter were her parents. And we did it up in Northern California. And so there, luckily I got to work with a really fine associate assistant director, mm-hmm. Jack Rowe, who's no longer with us. And he taught me a lot, too. But there was a lot that went on, and he taught me how to, you know, to budget and to plan and stuff, because that was the first real big movie I'd done. I remember driving Ann Baxter to her hotel, and she said, "Oh, my father built that building." I said, "Who's your father?" "It's Frank Lloyd Wright," which I never knew. Another embarrassing oops.
Well, you can't expect to know everything,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but no, it was good. It was fun, and that's really where I learned the organization was from Jack Rowe, and we had Jeannot Zwark, who's still in the business.
We had a great director.
Yeah, we had a good crew, and we were all family, so that was good.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
You're listening to a conversation that was recorded earlier this year, pre-COVID, pre-lockdown, with Susie Friendly. Susie Friendly's career in television production spans about 3 or 4 decades, and she worked behind the scenes in many capacities, both above the line and below the line, and span many different genres of television, including variety specials, scripted series, live television events, sports competition shows such as The Superstars and Almost Anything Goes, made-for-TV movies such as Lisa Bright and Dark, and, as Susie will mention later on this segment, such animated series as Baby Blues. You mentioned the word family. In many respects, when you work together, whether it's on a weekly show or just however many weeks you're together working on a special, you become very close, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're doing something on location, it's going to be live. It's like you all bond over that crazy moment.
Well, and you do too when you're doing a regular weekly show.
Yeah.
You do. You all kind of stick together. And that was, all of it was good. I was, the last live show I worked on was something called Hype, which was like Friday night, I can't think of it, but like Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
And it was one of the most unpleasant experiences I've ever had. I don't think these guys are still in the business. It was awful. It really was. And Warner Brothers wasn't really fit to do these kind of shows. But I said, oh, I can handle them. I can handle them. And I quit the show. And when I quit, 10 other people quit. But somebody else took it on. He could manage it. But it didn't last long. And then the last show that I did do was a show called an animated show, which is another thing Warner Brothers wasn't known for. It was called Baby Blues, which was from the newspaper. And that
the comic strip.
Yeah, the comic strip. And that was one of the best things I've ever done, because you're not with any of the people telling you what to do. Mm-hmm. I'm working in an office with the writers. And then we go to do the voiceovers, and that was great. Marion Ross was on it, and who was her husband that died? Not her real husband, but, you know, he was on what's his name?
Oh.
Little short,
Tom Bosley.
Tom Bosley, and we had...
That husband.
That husband, not a real husband, yeah. That husband.
Yeah.
And that was great. We had a really good time doing that, and it was organized and fun, and we went home at 6 o'clock. And then Warner Brothers, in their infinite wisdom, had to deficit finance because they'd taken on Outlook or Google or mm-hmm. something. So the air, the show never hit the air. Two years. I'd worked on it for a year, and they had worked on it the year before. Never went on. And that's when I said, you know what? I don't like this business anymore. So I left, and I haven't looked back. I mean, I'm not angry or anything. I don't miss it anymore as it is. I loved it when I was younger, and it's too hard now. But
well, no, it's too hard, and especially in this day and age of mergers, and you've got board of directors to answer to, and I mean, maybe not necessarily you have to answer to them, but decisions that are made that impact what you do on a day-in, day-out basis are coming from the top, and that adds a whole other set of dynamics to it.
Right,
We mentioned at the top that you were with Warner Brothers Television for about 15 years in different capacities. Now, this was also around the time when Warner Brothers became the network that it is today, back in the days of the WB.
It was Lorimar, and then it became Warner Brothers, and I went in then. I did some pilots with a friend of mine, a producer. So we did several pilots, and some of them didn't come to fruition.
Yeah.
And then I did this show called Shaky Ground, and that's when I started producing after that. And I can't remember the tall, funny actor's name. Jennifer Love Hewitt was on it, and I cannot remember. That was one of the hardest shows I've ever worked on. That's when I fell down and broke my arm after I had the hip replacement.
Oh, that's not good.
Shaky Ground. Matt Feuer.
Oh!
Matt.
Oh, yeah. No, he was Max Headroom.
He was. Yeah, and then Matt Feuer was on the show. It was great. But over-controlling producer, those were the nights that they wrote and wrote and wrote all night long. Mm-hmm. And we had different directors. And that was really hard. And the one time that we had, David Trainer was the director at that time. And I was talking to one of the heads of the studio upstairs where we had the green rooms. And I was standing on the step at the top of the stairs. Mm-hmm. And I missed my step and fell.
Oh.
And broke my arm because I was trying to protect the hip that had just been operated on. And David was so mad because he said, it screwed up everything. We were going to be out on time and could have had cocktails. So, yeah, that was one of the many shows I did.
You're listening to a conversation recorded earlier this year, pre-COVID, pre-lockdown, with Susie Friendly. Susie's career in television production spanned more than 3 decades and covered many different genres of network TV shows, including variety specials, live telecasts such as the Emmy Awards and the NAACP Image Awards, made-for-TV movies, and many scripted series, including many of the shows produced during the early days of the WB network. It sounds like you enjoyed when you got to the point where you were producing shows. It sounds like you enjoyed being a producer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I loved. I was not the creative force, except for that one show, one movie of the week that I did. But I liked being down in the mud.
Yeah, in the trenches,
and seeing how everything could work, and you know, and being a troubleshooter to see, well, if this didn't work, the set didn't work, what are we going to do? How can we change it? You know, and yet you still have the money. You know, you have to be within the budget.
Sure, absolutely.
And that was. Part of the fun of it.
Joe Swirling Jr., who was at Universal, you know, back at the time when you were there. Joe's one of those guys, he could do anything.
Right.
You know, he was very versatile, and, you know, he worked with Roy Huggins for many years, and he worked with Steve Cannell for many years. And he told me once that he worked with a lot of actors, some actors who wanted to direct. And he said it was always tricky when an actor wanted to direct because they were not always cognizant of you have to do this within budget. And you mentioned Ben Gazzara by name. He says Gazzara was not only a good director creatatively, but he was always, none of his shows went over budget. Right. He was always, he says not all actors remember that.
No, not at all. And now when actors direct, they have a good camera coordinator and they have that so they can do things like that. You hear horror stories sometimes about directors, and then other times, you know, they're fabulous. So it's all crapshoots.
Would you work, depending on what your project what project you were working on, would you work with any of the directors per se, or were you working more with crew members behind the scenes?
Crew members behind the scenes. The directors are all above the line, and mm-hmm. that's why you call a line producer, because you ride that line. I mean, you talk to the director and stuff about what he needs mm-hmm. and what he sees, and then you try to make it happen for him, you know, but... Yeah, I guess I did work with the directors. Yeah, I can't say that I didn't, because I'd be down on the floor and the writers would be in the writer's room and whatever, the producer or the head, but the, you know, the executive producer was also one of the writers usually.
Yeah, and directors, you know, whether directors for film or directors for television, they're expected to solve problems, and one of the things that help them solve problems is working with people like you who help them troubleshoot these things.
Right. So that at one point it was wonderful, and then it got to the point where it wasn't fun anymore. It just wasn't fun. People were down your back, and young kids would come in and be head of the studio, or I mean, you know, vice president in charge of whatever. And granted, they graduated Princeton and Harvard, and they had degrees that a lot of us didn't have, but we knew how to do the work. So.
Well,
you know, it was fun.
Well,
I have no regrets.
Well, and you did it for as long as you did it, and you did it until you did it until you decided, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, I'm 60 years old, I said, and that was some 19 years ago, 18 years ago. I said, that's it,
hey,
I'm gone.
You left on your terms.
Right.
That's the best way to do it if you can.
Right.
You're listening to a conversation recorded earlier this year in our studio, pre-COVID, pre-lockdown, with Susie Friendly. Susie's career in network TV production spanned more than 3 decades and covered many different kinds of network TV programming, including live specials, variety shows, movies of the week, sports competition shows, and such scripted series as Maggie Winters, starring Faith Ford. Do you have a favorite show that you've worked on that...
I think the best sitcom I did was with Carrie Lizer. When we did, it was called Faith Ford and Shirley Knight.
Oh, okay.
So that was fun. We all had such a good time.
Maggie Winters?
Maggie Winters, yeah. I mean, that was the best organized show, and we all got along, and I had a crew that kind of followed me with all the shows that I did. The production...
Well, that's good, because loyalty is very important.
Yeah, and I'm very loyal, so that was good. But that was one of the... nicer shows that, except it, you know, I mean, it only lasted a year, unfortunately. But Carrie's gone on and done a lot of things, so that was fun. That was a good show. And I credit Bob Banner for everything I learned. He was tough.
Yeah.
He was very, very tough, and he taught you things you needed to know. And he let you learn the hard way.
Yeah.
If you fell, you fell. Oh, I do. I have a funny story. When we were doing the Peggy Fleming show, the first one,
mm-hmm.
we were doing, it was a night show at Sun Valley in the ice rink there.
Mm-hmm.
And all the cameras, there were 4 cameramen, and Peggy was skating and all this, and it was fine. And we sent all of the 16mm film down to... on a plane to Photocam, which was then Photocam we used. And so the next morning we were supposed to get the dailies back and look at them. And because the crew, the same crew that did the John Ford show, they weren't in sync. It was all shot in darkness.
That's not good.
So, I mean, there was nothing in it was awful. It was just deadly. And all the cameramen were
I can't there. Imagine the networks were happy.
Well, the network didn't even see it.
Okay.
It was Bob's show.
Oh, okay.
But we just sent all the ice skaters, the professional ice skaters home. Everything was there, gone. And so Bob sat there and said, well, I think you better get on the phone, Susie, and get everyone back here. So the first call I made... was to Jim Hibbard, who was an ice skater, and I said, Jimmy, you got to get on a plane. It was a total disaster. You've got to get back here right away. And Bob, who was like a professor, was with his pencil, said, Susie, may I suggest on the next phone call you don't say it's a total disaster? That was the kind of criticism he gave me.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got back and we did the show and it was fine, but boy, that was... tense moments.
Well, no, yeah. Well, look, there's an art in phrasing things.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I learned that quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite Susie Friendly stories. Total disaster.
Yeah. Well, this conversation has been anything but a total disaster.
Well, thank you.
We'll talk some more with Susie Friendly at the end of our second hour. We hope you'll stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we'll take a quick time out. Then Greg Arabar will join us for a DVD report next on TV Confidential.
Attention, this important consumer alert is brought to you by the Structured Settlement Cash Hotline. Did you know it's possible to receive upfront money in one large payment from your structured settlement? Yes, you can. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want to access your money today, call us. It's your future cash. Why not put it in your hands today? Don't wait any longer. This is the best solution if you need money to pay your bills or even help a family member who's been affected during this global time of crisis. Everyone needs a little money right now, and our hotline is here for you. If you have a structured settlement where you're getting money spread out over time and you want it faster, call now. This simple 10-minute call can get your money now. The call is free and it costs you nothing. 800-965-7987. 800-965-7987. 800-965-7987. That's 800-965-7987.
Story Salon is Los Angeles' longest-running storytelling venue. We have live shows every Wednesday in Studio City, as well as solo shows, podcasts, CDs, and several books. Los Angeles Daily News calls Story Salon Gemstones of Narrative, something new, funny, astonishing. Sunset Magazine says, tales tall, tragic, and tantalizing. All of this makes Story Salon one of the most eclectic entertainment experiences available. You can learn more about us by going to our Facebook page or by visiting our website at www.storysalon.com.
Accredited by Guinness World Records, welcome to Archival Television Audio, Incorporated. A peerless TV soundtrack archive, preserving the audio from television's first three decades, the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, the golden and silver age of television.
For more information, go to atvaudio.com.
Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.